Leading off with the big story of the day, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and T-Mac.
Why do you have an aversion to opening up a five-year window and being competitive? We forgot about Manning, right? We forgot that he was, and I'm not saying that Matthew Stafford is as good as Manning.
We're just talking about windows.
Yeah. I mean, when they won the championship, Manning was not very good. He missed seven games.
But that window felt like it was open for quite a long time, right? Yeah. It didn't feel like just a blink of an eye and it was over.
Right.
Right? Felt like he'd been here for a while, right? 5 years in the NFL is a long time.
It was five glorious years. 5 years of us beating up on the Chiefs as opposed to the other way around.
Right? So you're saying that everybody on this station is wrong?
Yeah, that's not hard to say. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I like hearing that.
All the other guys are incorrect.
I'm a fan of that.
A survey done a week ago. Mike Evans would give up a first rounder. Orlando Franklin would give up a first rounder. Sandy Clough would give up a first rounder. D-Mac would give up a first rounder. Cecil Lammy would give up a first rounder. The hell is Mark talking about? How is he the only one on the radio station?
Well, I guess he was talking to me. He was talking to me.
I mean, you
can
say,
use my name, Mark. That's all right.
You say no.
Zach says no.
The Zoakley Show says no. Nick Ferguson says no. Well, Nick says a first rounder next year, not this year.
You could probably talk me into first rounder next year. I'm not giving up number 9 overall this year, though.
I love Nate Jackson. We'll have him on here shortly. A first rounder next year, and Brandon McManus.
I saw that. I'm like, holy cow, talk about something random.
And
Dude, you realize who the Lions have as a kicker? Matt Prater. Pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where Nate's going on that. And Drotar is a first rounder next year. So you, and the Zoakley Show, you don't touch first rounders at all for Stafford.
I do not. Although you could probably talk me into a first rounder of next year. That one's not as big of a deal to me because, the assumption is.
Why do you have?
You're going to be drafting low. You're going to be drafting 18, 19, 20, somewhere in that ballpark. Hopefully even lower than that, right? So
what the hell's Mark talking about?
That is wrong. Yeah, I mean, that's not hard for me to say.
So wait, what's this?
Supposed the other way around.
Right?
Seven.
So you're saying that everybody on this station is wrong?
Yeah, I mean, that's not hard for me to say, yes.
Good.
Yeah.
I like hearing that.
All the other guys are incorrect.
I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, except for more than half the guys actually agree with you.
Mm. You know, they live in their own world, D-Mac. You can do whatever you do. Whatever you want to do, you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, man.
The problem is when you wake up, you get on air, you're done by 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
What do you do the rest of the day?
Well,
you go to sleep. You don't even hear what we say the rest of the day.
We've literally been asking that question about Mike Evans for the better part of 2 decades, what he does at 9 o'clock,
now,
after
Mark,
9 o'clock.
Mark has got like 15 and a half jobs, I mean, he doesn't have time to listen to the station.
No, Mark's busy. But he does take his, like, granddaughter to karate or something, and
there you go.
Catches some of our show. I know that because he's talked about it. So, I know he was talking about being on the I Told You So Island, but I think that island's having a houseboat party, Mark. I think there's a lot of people out there with you. So that's how, you know, listen, I get
it. Did Mark offer something? Now read me exactly what Mark offered.
Oh, okay.
Because I want to know if he offered something that was drastically higher than anybody else.
This is so funny, too. Because he backs off of it. A first and a third rounder, but ideally, I'd like to make it next year's first to keep number 9. So, what's that?
Right.
Oh, so wait, now? Now you're convinced?
See, that's the problem with the written word, Mark. You know, we got it. We know exactly what you want to offer.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
You put it in writing.
Love Mark. He's the greatest. But now Mark finally likes a quarterback, and it's
well,
like,
hold on. Did he just indicate in that little sound clip that you played that we'd be beating the hell out of the Chiefs again?
No. Well, what he's saying, and I know what he's saying. Listen, the thing we know about Mark Schlereth more than anything, and we do love Mark, he's not a college guy. He's not. He has said specifically that for years. So he really does love NFL guys, and his point is, why bother with all this mess when you can get somebody established who's in the NFL and you can get 4 or 5 great years?
You know what?
Wasn't it great having Peyton Manning for 4 years? And you could say, wasn't it great having Jake Plummer for the time that he was a free agent for that time, too?
I absolutely agree with him. 100%, I'm a proven product guy. I mean, if I got to gamble on an unknown versus a known, I always would prefer the known, even if that means for less years. But when you're talking about for 3 to 4 years of above-average play, not great play, I think it's different, right?
Listen, it's a tricky conversation because, for example, would you have rather had, right off the bat, would you rather have Jay Cutler, who was a first-round pick, have a 12-year career with the Broncos, and whatever ups and downs come with it, hopefully have a certain amount of success if he's here for 12 years, or would you rather have the five losing seasons, or the five non-playoff seasons, four losing seasons that we've had, but you got Peyton Manning for 4 years.
Rather get Peyton Manning for 4 years.
And then just suffer the slings and arrows for the rest of the time.
Absolutely. It came with two Super Bowl appearances and one championship. That's worth everything.
So in a 12-year span, four of them are good and eight of them are up and down and all over the place. Whereas if you have a first-round guy who works out, you're basically competitive every single year.
Do you think it was fun to be the Cincinnati Bengals for the Marvin Lewis era? Do you think that was fun? No, it wasn't. They went to the playoffs every year. They got busted out in the first round every year. They were what we would be with Matt Stafford. That's what we would be with Matt Stafford.
Mike Evans, listening to you two fellows. He didn't use fellows, though. He used to.
What'd he say?
I can't say it on the air. Yeah, Mike, we understand you're listening. We just don't know what you do.
Well, what did he say? What did he say?
He just said he's listening.
Oh, you just wanted us to know that he's listening?
And what he thinks of us.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mike says a first and a third rounder. And then he goes, contrary to the disinformation campaign that DMAC wages against me, I don't mind investing a high pick in a situation like this. But he doesn't. There's no way, Mike. Mike's just being, he's just fibbing right there. There is no way we are ever going to hear Mike Evans plant his flag for a first round quarterback, ever. It's never going to happen.
Well, I think that's what he was saying. He doesn't want to plant his flag for a first rounder. He wants to plant his flag for a proven product.
Right. Unless Mike says something like, oh, yeah, I take Trevor Lawrence, knowing full well there's zero chance.
Right. That he would have drafted Andrew Luck. Cool. Congratulations,
bold,
buddy. I'm really proud of you.
Right. That's not the hard part. The hard part is figuring out what quarterback to go to if you don't have the number one overall pick.
Right.
If you're the worst team in football, the odds of you drafting a quarterback are absurd. I mean, unless you just drafted one, say you drafted one the year before, kind of like Burrow. Like the Bengals got Burrow number one overall, Burrow got hurt. But what if Burrow got hurt kind of right away and the Bengals again, you know, went 0-16. Well, all right, you're probably not going to draft a quarterback then. But only in those rare circumstances are you not seriously considering a number one quarterback.
Mm.
So very bold to say you take Andrew Luck or Joe Burrow or, you know, Peyton Manning. Very, very bold. It's trickier when you do have to go down the list, the second or third or fourth best quarterback, and go in that direction. So obviously it is a hell of a lot easier to just say, oh, go get Matt Stafford or go get Deshaun Watson. But that comes with a cost, man. It comes at a cost.
Hey, I get where Mike's coming from, that he's scared of the draft. I think the draft is a crapshoot much more than you do. I know that you find that offensive.
I just don't think it's a crapshoot.
It's like the definition of it. If you miss on more than 50% of the guys, that's the definition of it. So, you know, I get it. You're scared. But at the end of the day, you got to bet. At the end of the day, you got to lay it down. You got to put something out there. You got to gamble on somebody.
There are significant sets of analytics that show you have a better chance of success going in one direction than another direction. However,
sure, in like the top five, once you get outside of the top five, it drops off significantly. And then significantly from 10 to 15. And then from 15 to 20. It's like by the time you get to the bottom half of the first round, it's less than 50% of the guys hit.
That's right.
And that's not a crapshoot. That's the definition.
Listen, if this is a semantics article, if you want to call that a crapshoot, I'm not going to argue with you. I would say that the odds are significantly better the higher you draft a guy, depends on the position, than if you wait.
Well, that's true. So, you can get better odds. You can bet. You can gamble more wisely. Sure, there are ways to gamble smarter, but, you know, it's still gambling.
Oh, okay, fine. So to me, that's not a crapshoot. There's better odds. Now, but if you want to say there's no guarantee, I'll agree. Of course there's no guarantee. Not only is there no guarantee, I don't even think it's like 50-50. The odds, essentially, that guys don't work out is probably definitely under 50%. And for most positions, Tyler, it is probably under 40 or 30%. But then again, you can't just sit around. You got to try to use it to your best advantage. Because if you don't, you're really getting big trouble. And the Lions, our guy Kevin was awesome today as we're getting ready for the show, pointing out that the Lions have 5 picks in this year's
draft. Yeah, thank you for paying attention to me yesterday, Kevin. I really do appreciate that.
Kevin,
entire point yesterday.
Are you backing up the bus on yourself?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
It's like that Homer Simpson meme where he's going back into the tree or the...
Tyler made such a big deal of that yesterday.
I'm like, the Lions are not interested in players. They're not interested in any of that. They need picks. They've got 5 picks. That's all that they have.
Right.
You need to give them commodity in the draft. That's what they're interested
in. Right, to the degree that I actually said, well, you get Cortland Sutton, I said, and then they can trade Cortland Sutton for more draft picks. But Kevin boldly came out and stated, hey, just saw this. Looks like the Lions only got 5 picks this year.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
To which we relentlessly made fun of Kevin via the text line because that's how we roll. Richie, you have something to say here? Ready to pile on if need be. Is that just happy that the attention negative wise isn't going towards you?
Yeah, I honestly didn't say anything when the text came out because I was like, this was definitely a big thing yesterday, but maybe they'll let it go too. And then you guys just went after it.
Right.
Yeah, the Lions are in a, they're in a different ball of wax. They're in a tough spot, but they don't seem to care because they gave their GM their code. They got long deals. They're good.
You know, I hear people talking about why did the Lions play their cards so visibly? And I'm like, why not? You've got over half the league making calls right now, today.
Get it done.
That's how quickly it's happened. Half the NFL is interested in Matt Stafford. So, you know what? I am resigning myself to the fact that we are not going to get Matt Stafford because I'm not personally willing to give up the number 9 overall pick, and that's probably what it would take for the Broncos to get Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to give that up.
You don't want to do it. Stink is. Mike is. I am. Sandy is. I mean, you know, but there's...
I got to press you on that. Why you want to do that, though? Why do you want to give up the number 9 overall pick for 4 years of average football?
Well, I don't think it's going to be average football.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I think they're going to be in the playoffs.
That's it. Okay. All right.
But then you come around with...
Hold on. Are we talking what I was just talking about with Marvin Lewis? Because that's what I envision. I envision us limping into the playoffs, sneaking on in.
I can't guarantee
and not
it.
Making a run.
I don't know, man.
Right?
I don't know. I cannot predict how you do once you get to the playoffs.
Because if that's our standard. I mean, Mike Evans, this is Mike Evans special right here, saying that D-Mac's got low standards on quarterback play. I got to kind of agree if that's what the standard is.
Did Aaron Rodgers have a bad season?
But apparently Mike agrees with you as well.
I guess.
So you got that.
Yeah, it's a first and a third. In a perfect world, I'd like to trade back and send something like the 19th pick in the draft. I mean, these guys just live in fantasy land. Are you sure it's not Fantasy Island? I know you say,
Hold on. I'm not sitting here saying that somebody's going to give up a top 10 pick for Matt Stafford. I don't think they will. I think that whoever gives up a first rounder, you're talking about in the teens, maybe 14, 15, somewhere in that ballpark, right? Nobody's going to give up for a top 10 pick for him, though. I highly doubt
it's
that.
It's just the Broncos.
Right.
They're the only team that would.
Sure. The teams that are interested in him are teams like the Colts. The Colts are going to get Matt Stafford. Just write it down. Book it. Colts will get Matt Stafford. They're
going to
do whatever it takes. Jim Irsay already came out today. Mm-hmm. He said that he's had conversations with their GM and all the staff. They feel like they're in the window. They're in a championship window right now.
Yeah.
And the best way to go complete that, to go finish that, win a Super Bowl, is to go out and get a proven product like Matt Stafford. He didn't use his name, but he all but did.
So Mike's big dream idea is to drop down with the Washington football team, who has a quarterback issue themselves. And he thinks if we drop down to 19, then we can get the deal done. But of course, the Washington football team would be moving up to number 9 to get the deal done.
No, they wouldn't.
If they're going to do it.
They wouldn't do that.
Well, why else would they do a deal with the Broncos?
I don't know why they would. I don't think it's a realistic situation.
I get it, but why else would they do a deal with the Broncos?
I don't know. I don't think they'll do it. I'm just not accepting it because I don't think it's realistic.
You don't think they're going to do it, but right. The only reason they would do it is because they're making an aggressive play to get Matthew Stafford. That's the only reason.
Sure.
They're not doing it to get Trey Lance. They would just be like, this is what we're willing to do. All right, Broncos, we're going to go to 9. We're going to give you some second-round picks or whatever. You can drop down to 19, and we're going to go get Matt Stafford. That's the only reason they would do it.
Unless they were trying to make it a two-part move where they're trying to get up to number 9 before they get up to number 3.
Okay, or bundle things for Deshaun Watson. Either way, they're making an aggressive move to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
And the likelihood of you now getting Matthew Stafford with the 19th pick rather than the 9 is like 0. So I get in the best world, you know, I was 3 inches taller and I played third base with the Boston Red Sox for the past 20 years. I mean, in the best world, I could dunk. It always disappointed me I could never dunk.
Shocker.
You know, when you're 10 and you look at mom and dad and you dream of dunking, you don't realize how short they are, too. And then my parents encouraged me to play basketball instead of hockey. I mean,
Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad.
What are they thinking?
Well, follow your dreams, son.
I didn't have a dream at 10. I was, like, taking skating lessons up in Newburyport. I was playing basketball down at Whipple Junior High. It could have gone either way. You got something?
Well, yeah, I do. I was,
We got breaking news?
Yeah. D-Mac, breaking news.
Yeah?
You weren't going pro in anything.
Yeah, no
it didn't
kidding.
Matter what the
it's
sport was.
It's not breaking
It's not
news.
Your parents' fault they let you play
news.
Basketball. You weren't going pro in hockey. You weren't going pro in baseball. You weren't doing any of it.
You realize both my dad and my uncle played Division I baseball and hockey.
I don't care.
So I didn't have a chance.
Do you see the size of your hands?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, like you could barely put a baseball in those hands.
But my father and my uncle both played Division I sports.
Cool.
My son plays Division I sports.
Hold on. Put the breaking news back on.
All right. You're being ridiculous.
I am?
My wife was recruited to play field hockey, Division I.
Oh, right, because that has a lot to do with your genetics.
She turned it down.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true. Good point.
Breaking news. You weren't going pro in anything.
Well,
not your parents' fault.
Yeah.
Well, it's only your parents' fault that they gave you the genetics, so I guess you want to blame them for that.
Listen, all right, hold on. Do you think I'd been better in hockey or basketball? Really? This is a hard decision?
Oh, man.
You gotta be kidding me. Look at my hands.
I've seen a lot of variations of D-Mac. I've seen the bigger version, the smaller version.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of versions. I've yet to see the version that excels in sports.
Wow. 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 Damn, dude.
I mean, marathon running? Okay.
You want to get up and go to Loveland tomorrow, and we can race down the hill anytime you want.
I accept.
I'll see you there at 9 o'clock. I'll be on lift 8 is open. We'll make it interesting. We'll put some bumps and powder there.
There you go.
We'll see something athletic happen. All right, tall guy.
I accept. You want a skiing challenge? I accept.
I guess those marathons ran themselves.
Yeah, I don't know if that's like calling a NASCAR driver an athlete. Like,
holy cow!
Marathon runners are athletes. You've got incredible mental endurance.
Wait.
You've got some mental toughness.
Wait, a marathon runner's not an athlete.
You've got some mental toughness, sure. Probably more than I've got.
You have gone off the crazy train.
Huh?
Yes, Richie?
I mean, tracks. I mean, if you're talking about the hurdles, if you're talking about the long jump, I mean, give me some sort of sport that involves a sprint. Sure, you could call yourself an athlete.
Tyler Palumbus, January 27th, 2021, marathon runners aren't athletes.
Yesterday it was cat people, today it's marathon runners.
Marathon runners. And oh, by the way, NASCAR drivers aren't athletes either.
Whoa, wow.
Well, that's what you said.
Yes, and I stand by it.
Who else isn't an athlete, Tyler?
Bowlers?
Bowlers aren't athletes. Add it to the list. You don't think it takes athletic ability to be a bowler. You're nuts. Bowlers need stamina, grip strength, athleticism,
eye-hand
coordination.
If you could bowl a 300 with a cigarette in one hand and a beer in the other, I don't think it's a sport.
Wow. How is bowling not a sport?
Professional dart throwers, athletes.
Yeah, same as bowlers.
I don't think he didn't say bowling's not a sport. I just don't think
he said
they're
not
athletes.
Right.
I don't even know what to say.
Are pool players athletes?
Pool players? Are pool players athletes?
Is the answer. Just say uh-uh.
Probably not.
Thank you. Is Ninja an athlete?
Ninja?
Yeah, do you know what Ninja is?
Esports.
Right.
Esports. Oh, that's a good question.
Oh my gosh, it's not a good question.
Well, if it involves dexterity, mental toughness, and stamina, that doesn't make you an athlete?
Cow. No. No.
Because I know where you're going, because basically you're saying if you're fat, you can't be an athlete. But then I would just look at, like, offensive and defensive lines.
I didn't say that.
You are saying that.
Sumo wrestlers are athletes, for sure.
Okay.
I can barely say the word, but they're athletes.
All right. So, wait, why couldn't a dart thrower be an athlete?
Well, their particular sport doesn't involve athleticism.
What's not athletic about throwing darts?
Do I even have to? I don't even know how to fight this battle. I don't even know how to explain it.
Mitch Unrein's wife, Corey, is an Olympic shooter. Is she an athlete?
No.
Oh, my God. Wow. Wow.
Now, hold on. Does she do the one where you got to do, like, cross-country skiing and shoot on the run and everything else?
No, just pull.
No, she's just great. She's a great shot.
Wow. You got the boys laughing in the background there.
Great shot.
All right.
I love you, Mitch. Don't come out. Mitch, I know you could win in a wrestling match. I don't want anything to do with you.
His wife, Mitch, your wife's not an athlete. I know she's represented the United States in like three different Olympics, but guess what? She's not an athlete.
Are curlers athletes?
Of course they are.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it depends. You know, no, they're all athletes.
Wow.
I am not unbelievable.
You know what? I take it back. You could have gone professional in anything.
Thank you. Well, I ruined my dream. I had to be 3 inches taller, though. I'll give you that. But, you know, if. You haven't seen me do anything athletic. You're something. Richie, he's getting revenge for you right now.
I'm glad to know somebody's in my corner.
You know what? I mean, all the fat shaming that you did on Richie, this is just payback.
What, you can't even see it now?
See what?
The potential, the athleticism.
Well, I see, like, how you could have been a marathon runner, yeah.
All right, okay. Good baseball player, too.
Yeah.
Had to make a decision at 17, Tyler. Couldn't live in fantasy land like you did. By the way, what'd you do to be 6'8"?
I was born this way.
Right. Lady Gaga over here. Water cooler's coming up next.
Born this way.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Stupid bet. The marathon thing, it's like Tyler's like, if you gave me 3 months, I could run a marathon. Could you block DeMarcus Ware? And I'm like, well,
I mean, did you ever think I would ride 100 miles on a bicycle? Seriously.
No, but I didn't. But that's not competing in the Tour de France.
I get it.
Like you say DeMarcus Ware. Well, DeMarcus Ware is at the top of his game. Give me somebody else to block. And if I trained for 3 months, I'd probably be able to block them on the same level you'd be able to run a marathon.
Right.
But that's not at a world-class level. I mean, it's like, you realize there's no way, for example, you'd ever in your life be able to run a marathon in less than 3.5 hours.
Agreed, but I can I can run a marathon.
Yeah, but that's like I could go play football. I'd suck at it. Like, you'd suck at running a marathon, but I could go suck equally at a sport.
Fair enough.
By the way, I don't know, man. Run a marathon? I don't know, man.
You don't think I could run a marathon?
No, I think you could.
Hold on. I mean, seriously, you don't think I can run a marathon? The only requirement to running a marathon is mental toughness. That's the only requirement.
It takes a lot.
Name another requirement to running a marathon.
You have to have a certain amount of physical shape.
Well, yeah, obviously, but that's part of the mental toughness of training for it.
You are clearly not in for that right now.
Oh, please. Obviously, I'm not ready to run a marathon right now, but I will accept this bet. If you want to put something on it, I will accept this bet.
What's the bet?
I don't know. You got to wager something. You got to do something.
Where am I on this? I'm not making bold declarations of things.
I don't know.
For a change. I don't know. I don't know what I would bet. What would I bet?
All I know is it wasn't that hard to train for 100 miles to ride a bicycle. All it took was some mental toughness. I got there in a couple months. If I put a few months into trying to run a marathon, I could probably get there too.
Dude, I've done both.
I've
run marathons. I've ridden my bike 100 miles.
I have no doubt a marathon is harder. Okay. No doubt in my mind it's harder.
All right. Okay. There are certain cycling things that are harder than running a marathon, but riding 100 miles is not one of them.
Sure. No, I'm not even remotely trying to say that. My only point is, if I put my mind to it and I train for it, I can do it.
Okay. I guess if I trained for 3 months,
You couldn't find a marathoner that could put their mind to it and block DeMarcus Ware.
You couldn't find a 6'8" football player who could run a marathon in 2 hours and 15 minutes. I mean, both things are the same thing.
Moving on.
By the way, who's to say DeMarcus Ware's up for this bet? The disgruntled quarterback room is getting more interesting. Here is Ian Rappaport about Jared Goff.
Here's my understanding, Mike, of where it is for the Los Angeles Rams. If Jared Goff is not traded, if he remains on the team in 2021, expect an open quarterback competition in training camp. It'll be John Walford, who they like a lot, versus Jared Goff, their starter for the last several years. We will see if Goff is able to limit some of the turnovers, increase the explosive plays, and keep this job, or if it is John Walford who ends up taking it.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
What? What? There's more.
Now, there's a lot to this situation. Lesneed is right. 45 wins for Jared Goff since 2017, second most behind Tom Brady. He's got 3 playoff wins. He's got a lot of big moments. There's been so much good that Jared Goff has done for the Rams. That should be noted. The other side of the story is John Walford, when he played, added a new dynamic, a new element, much more mobile for the Los Angeles Rams. And they liked what they saw during the time when he was in at the end of the season in the playoffs, just like they liked what they saw in training camp from him and when he was on the practice squad.
I don't know if we have it. This is probably on me. I should have brought it up before the show. But do we have the audio of Les Snead talking about this situation? Because it is insane. Les Snead was asked by a reporter. The reporter says, "You understand that you could put this entire conversation to rest by simply saying that Jared Goff is your quarterback.
And he
wouldn't
do it?
To do that."
Les Snead wouldn't do it.
And Les Snead said, "Well, no, there's no absolutes in this." And then the reporter goes, "Okay, I'm going to give you a second chance. This is your opportunity to tell us that Jared Goff is your quarterback." And Les Snead says, "Well, right now he's the Rams quarterback."
That's like what Elway said about Tebow.
Gosh.
Right now.
Goodness.
Yeah. Wow.
How about that reporter, though? Said, do you understand what you're doing right now? You're giving us all the conversation. You're telling us what to talk about. I'm going to give you a second chance to put this conversation to bed."
What a kind reporter.
Right. Oh, sounds like a D-back.
Nah, I wouldn't be. I've never asked a question like that.
Excuse me, Akib, have you ever shot yourself?
Well, I've asked that.
Akib, can you clear things up? Did you shoot yourself in that incident?
Oh, man, the situation is still under review. And
okay.
I would never ask a question like that.
Well, I wouldn't tell somebody. I would ask a question, that would be it. I wouldn't circle back and say, nah, I'm going to ask it again. Like, I didn't say, Akib, now hold on. Did you shoot yourself? You ask it once, it's fine. You ask a question twice, you're being a... Come on, man. You're being what Mike Evans called us.
I mean, seriously, though, the fact that Les Snead played the game, and he knew what the reporter wanted him to do, and he played the game,
mm-hmm.
It tells you everything. What an insane year this is. We've got Jared Goff.
You think he's going anywhere? Goff is going anywhere?
Oh, well, they would love to, but nobody's going to take on his contract. So, no, he's not going to go anywhere.
So they're going
to
bench him for John Wofford?
Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe, right. Yeah. But, I mean, think about this. We've got Jared Goff's situation. We've got the Aaron Rodgers situation. We've got Deshaun Watson. We've got Matt Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Is there anybody else out there I'm missing?
Matt Ryan,
kind of. But that one hasn't gotten public like the rest of them.
Carson Wentz.
There you go.
Which seems to have resolved itself.
It has.
But still.
But you've got four
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Legitimate
starters. You want to throw him out there?
No. I'm talking about people that are, like, publicly at war with the team right now.
Oh, okay. Oh, well,
I'm not talking about guys that could potentially be moved on.
Gotcha. Matt Ryan's not on that list. He's not at war
right.
with anybody.
But you've got Aaron Rodgers. You've got Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Matt Stafford and Deshaun Watson. That's four NFL starters in one offseason. This has never happened.
That's pretty crazy. I haven't really thought deeply about Jared Goff. I mean, I just felt like, hey, maybe they just weren't getting along at the end of the season. But, all right. I mean, it didn't work out so well for Doug Peterson there. Unless Les Snead really has Sean McVay's back. I mean, that would be something, wouldn't it? To see Jared Goff just sitting there with all that money and Wofford.
You know, he's got $40 million guaranteed still on the contract.
it's insane. It is kind of similar to the Wentz situation. Like, did you really think Jalen Hurts was going to be a higher priority than Carson Wentz? Did you really? Did you really think that's the way it was going to go?
Right.
And by the way,
did Les Snead give him that money?
Yeah.
Right.
So Les Snead is in a pretty tough spot. I'm going to guess Les Snead and McVay agreed about Jared Goff at some point.
I don't think they ever wanted to do the deal. They just felt like they had to. They didn't have a choice.
Yeah. Well,
they did have a choice, and they apparently made the wrong one.
I think it's tough to walk away from guys that quarterback your teams to Super Bowls.
That's right.
You know, you kind of have that in the back of your mind always.
Yep.
And listen, you can say whatever you want about Carson Wentz, but he was the reason, not Nick Foles, that they got to the point that they got to. And then, you know, Nick Foles, good for him, took it across the finish line.
Well, Carson Wentz lit the world on fire at one point. I mean, it's not like Carson Wentz didn't have his moments.
And the MVP talk until he gets injured with just a couple weeks left to go in the season.
Jared Goff never had his moment. The Super Bowl year, he just existed. He was just okay. He just he had to.
Didn't make mistakes, though.
That's
sometimes,
right.
Sometimes that's a big part of it.
That's right, but there's a huge difference between not making mistakes and having your moment.
Like Flacco, you could reasonably argue that the best thing that he did during his Super Bowl run was not make mistakes, which he didn't.
I'd have to really think back on that. I mean, he won the Super Bowl MVP. That's a big deal. You know, in the biggest game, you were the biggest player. You were the best player. I think Flacco had his moment.
That game was weird, though, man. Lights go out. that was a weird day, man. The Broncos.
I don't remember. Who did they play? I know it was in San Francisco.
It was in New Orleans.
Oh, it was in New Orleans.
Against San Francisco.
That's right.
I was there. I was in the rafters when all the lights went out.
I got the San Francisco part right.
No, you did. Yeah. It was Jimmy Smith, CU, shoulder to shoulder, making plays
right,
in the end zone.
Right.
Getting away with pass interference twice.
Good
winning,
for him.
Winning the Super Bowl for the Ravens.
You know, it's not cheating unless you're trying.
Wasn't a pulled t-shirt.
It's only cheating if you get caught.
One of our guys, Nate Jackson, is. We gotta ask Nate about wanting to trade Brandon McManus. Where did he even come up with that? And we roll on, and we can play a little. Is it an athlete or not an athlete with Nate? Pick three sports that you'd say is it an athlete or not an athlete with Nate, and we'll talk to Nate Jackson next.
It's the Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
When you feel weak, you feel like you want to just give up. But you gotta search within you. Gotta find that inner strength.
and value.
So get your missing to see salami.
Rats, long as you feel them, to the day that I drop, you'll never say that
I'm
not
Jackson, cause when I Eminem remix.
Sure.
Subliminal thoughts when I'm a stop.
Nate Jackson joins us courtesy of the Davikids. Hi, Nate.
Hey, D-Mac. Hey, Tyler. How are you guys?
Hey, buddy.
Super duper. So you would give up this year's second round pick, next year's first round pick, and Brandon McManus for Matt Stafford.
Brandon McManus just a sweetened deal for these guys because I think Matt Prater, the Hawk, is retiring.
You got some breaking news to roll out?
No, don't. But I just feel like the Hawk, you know, he might hang him up. But if he doesn't, guys. It's not. It never hurts to have two good kickers on the roster.
Dude. Oh, is that right? Yeah, that's interesting. That's a new philosophy.
All right, you got to tell
because you got to read, Tyler.
You brought it up, so you got to tell everybody why you're nicknaming Matt Prater the Hawk.
Well, actually, he nicknamed himself the Hawk.
That's right.
The neck.
The Hawk in the neck.
He has a tattoo of a hawk on his arm. He's the Hawk, man.
No. But do you know what the story is? Or I'm asking,
I don't know.
Oh, okay, Tyler, go ahead, tell the story.
Oh, well, he's just obsessed with Hawks, everything Hawks. He's like Brian Dawkins with action figures in his locker. He's got Hawk figurines, and he's like, if he sees a Hawk out in public, I don't know, it was just his deal. That, and he didn't want to be a pencil neck. He worked on his neck. He goes in the weight room, and he does neck drills. That's what he does.
And it used to be, back when there were trees at Dove Valley, now, I think this does go to his Florida days with the Hawks, but at Dove Valley, there used to be Hawks that would run around, and he would literally stop whatever he was doing to sort of watch the Hawk out there on the field. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I forget, it is something spiritual with him, too. Like, he thinks the Hawks are people, or I don't know. There's a whole thing to Prater and the Hawk thing. Anyway,
I never saw him admiring a hawk in person, but I've always called him the Hawk. Hey, listen, this guy cut his teeth around, like, you know, Todd Sauerbrunn and people like that, John Engelberger. The Hawk lived in a hotel for his first year in the NFL, because John Engelberger did as well, and he looked up to John Engelberger and wanted to emulate him. So he lived in a hotel. He didn't know if he was going to have a job. He didn't know how long he was going to be in the league. And look at it. This is like 13, 14 years later, man. What a career for that guy.
And Brandon's had a great year, too. So.
All right. So,
I do want to make a quick point about Brandon, guys. At the end of the season, Brandon was trending in the wrong direction. Oh. He missed a lot of big kicks, and I coincide that with his activity online and his need to get at Twitter trolls and be involved with that. I don't want Brandon McManus on Twitter anymore, guys. And if he does, I don't want him kicking.
Man. Whoa. Okay. I mean, I guess this is the lead story here. You are officially the only one of the station that's going after Brandon McManus. All right.
I'm not going after him, man. He just needs to clean up his online presence, in my opinion.
All right. Wow. Should the Broncos really make an aggressive play after Matt Stafford? What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think it depends what you mean by aggressive, but I think Matt Stafford would help this team a lot. I do. I think what the Broncos are searching for a quarterback, and what every team is searching for, is stability, is predictability, where the guy's under center, you know he's going to be there, and you know he's going to be available, you know, and everything else can get your attention. And if you're always worried about who the quarterback is going to be, if he's going to play well, then your team is always going to suffer. And I think Matt Stafford would give him the ability to have some stability and focus on other things. The question is, how much you want to give up, you know? And that number 9 pick, I don't know if I would give that up for Matt Stafford.
Well, what does this team look like if Matt Stafford is here? How much better are we?
Right away, I think this offense improves because it's a young offense. And oftentimes, they look a little lost, at least in the passing game. And I think a veteran quarterback who knows what he's doing, who knows, he's seen every defense in the league, every blitz, and he would see the whole field, would help this offense mature. Absolutely. I think they would probably score, you know, 4 more points a game, 4 or 5 more points a game right off the bat. But defensively, it wouldn't improve at all from Stafford being here. In fact, it might suffer because of what you have to give up to get him. So it's like, okay, how is it proportional to what you're going to gain and lose by getting him? Definitely not, in my mind, giving up 3 ones for Deshaun Watson. I don't think you want to do that to your football team.
Nate Jackson is our guest. What's bugging you these days? What do you feel like you need to write about or get off your chest aside from your obvious hate of Brandon McManus?
No, I don't hate him, dude. He's a really good kicker. You just got to focus and stay offline. It really saps your energy, and it takes away your essence. Actually, that's what I want to write about, how we have to kill the Internet, guys. The Internet is destroying us. It's dragging us down to hell. These athletes who, you know, want to have an imprint, want to have a brand, it's pulling them away from the field and pulling them.
No, I think the Unabomber wrote like a manifesto about that.
Unabomber? Come on, man. Hey, I also want to mention one thing that I heard you guys talking about, the marathon. I did hear that conversation. Right. I want to give you my 2 cents. Yeah. I think Tyler probably could finish a marathon. It would take him a really long time to do it, but he could finish. D-Mac, I do not think you could finish a football game.
who am I playing against?
It doesn't matter.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
I guarantee you, if I was just playing a football game against a bunch of other 50-year-olds, I'd do just fine.
If it was tackle, you would not.
I'd play corner. They don't touch anybody. You know, a lot of people can play football. I mean, you know, it doesn't mean you're good at football.
Are NASCAR drivers athletes, Nate?
That's a tough one. I say no.
Mm. Pool players? Dart throwers?
No. Mm. No, no.
Mm. Marathon runners?
Athletes? That's hard because, I would say yeah. I guess I'd say yeah because there are some slight changes in pavement and terrain issues. You have to negotiate a curb, for example. So, you're an athlete.
Let me back up a second. I am insulted by you saying I could never play a football game. I could play a
You got to define what success is. Like, you, by us finishing the marathon, that means that you completed the goal, right?
Let's slow down for a second. Because every football player gets pegged to a position by their size, okay? Unless, you know, you're not fast enough and you have to go from a wide receiver to a tight end and put on a ridiculous amount of weight. But if you're 6'8", you're going to be an offensive lineman or maybe a defensive end or maybe a tight end. You're not going to play cornerback.
Sure.
You're not going to play safety. Yeah. So at my size, I could definitely play a football game because I'd be slotted into a position where guys who are 5'8 play football. So I guess I am insulted by that. Wow. They think I couldn't finish a stupid football game playing where I would play.
There's some things in life you just got to accept, D-Mac.
Hold on. I'm not tough enough to play football? I'm not smart enough? What am I not enough to play a football game, Nate?
Stuff.
So when's the last time you rolled by a park and saw a group of 50-year-old men playing a tackle football game? It doesn't happen. Nobody plays tackle football beyond the ages of 20, whatever. And if you see a guy in his 30s play tackle football, it's a mistake.
Yeah.
So God made a mistake and let him do that. Nobody should play
tackle football. Hold on, but then there's no difference between me and you or anybody if they're the same age then.
Well, that's not necessarily true. If we were
you
to strap up right
was.
Now and play, D-Mac, I shouldn't be playing, but I could. You shouldn't be playing, and you shouldn't. But you couldn't.
All right, dude. We'll talk to you later.
All right, love you guys.
Bye, Dave. Couldn't play football.
And you shouldn't.
And I shouldn't. Nate Jackson, courtesy of the Davikids. Football at 4. Could the Broncos be in the mix for Deshaun Watson? Well, there's an ESPN article that says they should. Details of that next.